Welcome to episode 265 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. Today, we wrap up our week-long study of the 13th book in the New Testament. Paul concludes his first letter to the Thessalonians with 17 admonitions. In the concluding prayer, Paul summarizes a main theme of this letter, that believers in Thessalonica and beyond should continue to grow in holiness until the second coming itself. In other words, they are to live every day in preparation for the Lord's return. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 to 15. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. According to this passage, Christians need to learn how to accept and how to offer constructive criticism. That can only happen in the context of relationship. The bottom line is that every Christian needs to be accountable to others and needs to be willing to hold others accountable. A praying church will grow in admonition and encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why does Paul call on the Thessalonians to do each of these things? Why is this behavior so important to church life? There are dozens of commands for us to rejoice throughout the Bible. Yet, we rarely give rejoicing the emphasis it deserves. A joyful life, according to Galatians 5 verse 22, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And Spirit-filled joy is possible even in suffering. Paul makes this point earlier in this epistle to the Thessalonians. Paul certainly is a model of what it means to pray without ceasing. The book of 1 Thessalonians is saturated in prayer. Here, in this passage, Paul invites readers of his letter to follow his example. Thankfulness is another positive Christian attitude that Paul exhibits. He starts off his letters talking about how grateful, how thankful he is for the people in the church at Thessalonica. At the root of pagan depravity is a lack of gratitude to God. According to Thomas Erskine, in the New Testament, religion is grace and ethics is gratitude. It is interesting to note then that the Greek words for rejoice and be thankful have the same basic root. The key to godly rejoicing is a continuing spirit of thankfulness to God. Open your eyes. The gifts of God are all around us. We just forget to thank Him for them, often because we're so focused on the trials and struggles of living. If we would cultivate an attitude of thankfulness to God more and more, our walk with Him would be much closer and our lives filled with joy. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 23 to 24. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. What does it mean to be sanctified holy and preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord? Shouldn't we be that way even now? Well, note that this call to be sanctified follows these other imperatives to rejoice, to be thankful, to pray without ceasing. Paul is saying that what God does in believers is to extend throughout the entire person. Every part of the believer's life is to be affected by sanctification as the return of Jesus approaches. In speaking of spirits, soul, and body, Paul is not attempting to be scientific and precise about various layers of the human person. Note that in biblical thought, mind and body are a unified whole, not parts that exist separately. Rather, he's expressing that every part of our mind and body is to be submitted to God. God is to be allowed full control of our thoughts, feelings, and actions. Paul's prayer extends from the present time to the second coming. Believers are to be preserved or kept blameless until the coming of the Lord. Paul is praying that the completeness of their dedication to God will be maintained all the way to the end. According to this letter, the Thessalonians are far from perfect, but what they have is worth preserving until Jesus comes. As much as anything else, Paul is praying that they will continue to grow in grace through a relationship with Jesus. Keep on keeping on, I can hear him saying. Make tomorrow even better than yesterday. And if you stick with that, in the end, you will behold Jesus face to face. As Paul wraps up his letter to the Thessalonians, he addresses a variety of issues, but he's particularly focused on the spiritual quality of local church life. Believers at the local level are to mentor each other and be joyful and thankful. They are to be open to new truth, particularly prophetic truth, yet careful and thoughtful in their evaluation of new ideas. Above all else, Paul calls for complete submission to God in every area of personal life with an eye toward the return of Jesus. If believers are faithful, they will be rewarded in the day of the Lord.
The sky shall unfold. Preparing his entrance, the stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him. Then to
we won't spend much time on 2 Thessalonians, but note that Paul writes his second letter to these believers, one, to reassure those terrified that the day of the Lord had already come, two, to strengthen them in the face of continuing persecution, and three, to deal with the problem of some of the church members refusing to earn their own living. Paul assumes that the Thessalonian church knows that the second coming of Jesus will occur at the same time as the coming of the day of the Lord. And the Thessalonians may simply have fallen victim to a belief that the day of the Lord had already come. The persecution they're undergoing may have fueled their confusion about the end times. Some of the Thessalonians may have stopped working to await and proclaim the second coming. But even Jesus in Luke 19 verse 13 urged his disciples to occupy till I come. In both of his epistles, Paul calls for a total commitment to readiness for the second coming of Jesus. When we accept the gospel, we become children of the light. As we live out the gospel in faith, hope, and love, we grow more and more into the image of Jesus. If we are ready to die in Christ today, we will be ready if Jesus comes today. Father, thank you for the guidance you've given us through our word. Help us to be ready today for the day of the Lord. We so very much badly want to behold you face to face. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.